Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast currently in clinical trials as a potential medical alternative to traditional anesthesia. Here are two guys that always get excited when they hang out in a cave due to the acoustical properties. I don't get it. Any of it.
Nom 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 nom.
Matt and Doug.
3 weeks in a row.
He's on fire.
Yes.
It's Matt. Yes. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
So let's go ahead and jump into it.
And now it's time for podcast housekeeping.
My week, I will go first. There's a lot. I think you have a lot as well. But I had talked about animal crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And I referenced this.
And I don't want this.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
I really don't think that the animal cracker qualifies as a cracker.
Why?
Well, because it's sweet, which to me suggests cookie. And, you know, maybe putting cheese on something is sort of the defining characteristic of what makes a cracker a cracker.
Okay, and I'm going to bump this to the end.
Baby, do you think it's possible that anyone else in the world is doing this very same thing at this very same moment?
I hope so. Otherwise, what the hell are we trying to say?
How is it possible to get choked up and get douche chills at the same time?
He sounds so young in that.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, that was... what, 2003?
Oh, no. That was pre-2000, my friend.
Oh, was it really?
I think so.
Well, so anyway, it was a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah.
1998.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 99.
God damn.
Yeah. Sucks getting old, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We talked about Bryan Cranston because he's in a show that you're watching, and I mentioned the Family Guy clip where... he sneezes and they hand him an Emmy.
We now return to Bryan Cranston sneezes.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody handed him an Emmy.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's see. Let's move down a little bit. Superman 2 has been sound of the week 4 times.
Wow. How about that?
And let me finish my Superman stuff here. The villain names in Superman 2 and Superman, the first one, are from Krypton are Zod, Ursa, and Nan.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexandria Daddario did the voice of Lois Lane in the animated Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Ah, all right. I looked up to see if Emilio Estevez was bald.
He is not.
He is not.
No.
Although there are some pictures of him out there that have been photoshopped of him being bald in a pool.
And he also was bald for a film he did about...
Behind the Green Door?
I thought it was Deep Throat, but you could be right. It was about the porn industry.
It was Behind the Green Door.
Okay.
Because it was, that was with the Ivory Soap chick. Oh, what the fuck is her name?
Yeah, I know you're talking about, because they did not know that she was that person at first.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. wasn't that film viewed in the Japanese car in Cannonball Run?
I don't know. Marilyn Chambers. Yes. Had said, you know, I think you have to pray just to make it today.
We got to pray just to make it today.
Yeah. It's Hammer.
Mm-hmm. Hammer time. I always come out even. Because I bought the USS Flag G.I. Joe aircraft carrier and then was handed a big pile of money several hours later, just like Jerry Seinfeld always comes out even.
You know, life is amazing. I just lost a job and 5 minutes later, get another job, same weekend, same money. You know who you are? Even Steven.
See, I didn't listen to that and I was going to look that up because you said $10. I could have swore it was $20.
You know what? That was the first thing that came up. And I just went with it.
Okay. Rosie O'Donnell starring roles.
Yeah.
She was kind of the female lead in American Gigolo, the TV series.
Oh.
She played the special needs person in Riding the Bus with My Sister.
Okay.
The Flintstones. She played a nun in Wide Awake, Exit to Eden, and then she was the third lead in Another Stakeout. But there is nothing that was really a Rosie O'Donnell vehicle.
Hey, let's make this movie for Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Said nobody ever.
We'll be billionaires. You talked about a cat walking across the screen in last week's movie.
Yes.
And you said, do you think they have a cat wrangler? Kind of like a pussy wrangler. And then it got me thinking, do you think Jennifer Aniston had a nipple wrangler on Friends?
No, that was just the guy who controlled the temperature on set.
Ah, all right.
You had actually talked about, was it 4 words or 5 words to say?
Oh, from Reservoir Dogs?
And this non-college bullshit you're giving me, I got 2 words for that. Learn to fucking type. Because if you're expecting me to help out with the rent, you're in for a big fucking surprise.
So it's 2 words, which is even more wrong.
And he said 4 words.
But he said 2 words. And then he said four words.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Do you have to be British to be knighted?
No, apparently not.
No, you do not.
Because that chick was knighted and she's American.
Ah.
She's a dame.
Wonder what she was knighted for.
Public service, I think.
Oh. So, will I get knighted? I've done lots of public service.
I'd say all signs point to no.
Yes.
Shake my magic eight ball. Talked about, I don't even know, why were we talking about Animal House? Or were we talking about limp dicks? Were we talking about limp dicks or were we talking about Animal House? I don't remember.
I don't remember. What's the clip? Maybe that'll jog my memory.
Greg, honey.
Oh,
is it supposed to be this soft? Greg, is anything happening yet? My arm's kind of tired. Anything?
Maybe a little faster. Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Darn it, Greg. If you're not even going to try, I'm just going to stop.
That's not good if that's when you're like 22.
No. We talked about that because Steve was, we suspect, was getting a hand job from Phyllis.
Oh, that's right.
In the car.
Right. Yeah. And she said something about firm up or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Where is Hamburg, Germany? The city where I thought my brother was trying to teach me how to masturbate in broad daylight in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's way north. There's no way that we were in Hamburg on the trip that I went with my dad and my brother. I don't know where we were then, but I know we were in Germany.
Okay.
And Joey said, that's kind of a fucked up story. I'm like, you think?
Yeah, there was a lot of things last week, but we talked about knowledge too. And I do not remember how that came up, about knowing women, knowing what to do with. Oh, it was because of the whole thing with when the main character, Jeffrey, he has the option of basically spending the entire summer to get laid at the end of the summer with the one girl, or he could have just been nailing cougars left and right and been getting their knowledge. And I said, it reminded me of this.
You know what he said afterwards?
No.
He said the lady had knowledge. And he was glad to get that knowledge. You know why?
Why?
Because college girls can smell ignorance. Like dog shit.
Well, I'll think about it.
Hey, where are you going to school next year?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Big school.
Talk about sounding young.
Yeah. So basically, I just walked around college just smelling like dog shit the entire time. And what's funny is whenever there's one of those stories that pops up with the hot high school teacher that bangs a guy and it's, I'm doing finger quotes, sexually abused, I go to the comment section and it's always the same. Oh, I'm sure he did not feel like he was sexually abused. And then there is story after story after story of guys saying, oh yeah, when I was 16 and I worked at a grocery store, 30-something woman who worked there taught me everything. And I'm just like, I fucking missed out. I missed out because I was just naive, or I missed out because I missed the signs. But I really feel like I missed out on things in life.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, because there are probably things that were there that you didn't realize, but also you have to be in the right situation. You have to be in that place, in that job with that woman.
Yeah.
The card game I was thinking of was Hearts, not Euchre.
All right. We talked about 6 Feet Under because we talked about my son watching 9-1-1 and Peter Krause is in that show. He played Nate in 6 Feet Under, and this was his demise.
It's numb. It's numb arm. Numb arm. Numb, numb.
Nate!
Is he stroking out?
Yeah. Oh, he had a brain aneurysm.
Okay. The TV show with Jason Bateman eventually was called The Hogan Family.
The Hogan Family, not Valerie's Family.
Right. In 1963, school got out on June 19th. The latest it ever got out was June 24th.
Wow. Okay. All right. I have nothing else.
Okay. The Silver Gull Beach Club, which is where last week's movie was filmed, was severely damaged by Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
Do you know what the difference between a vipe and a gleek is?
I didn't, when you said vipe, I was thinking gleek.
Yeah, so was I.
Okay, so gleek is the thing that you do with your tongue, right? And vipe is the...
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I had that wrong. Jen had some questions about the girl that I asked to move with me to Ohio.
Okay.
How was I planning to pay for her law school?
You would have figured it out.
I would have figured it out. That was my response. I would have figured it out. And then it was, were you dating her? No. Were you hooking up with her? No. Had you ever hooked up with her? No.
You're just hoping for the best. You're going to figure it out and hope for the best.
TV and movies ruined me because I was such a big believer in the grand gesture.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that's going to turn the tide and is going to make the woman love me because I was so desperate to be cared for at all.
I looked her up on Facebook to see what she looked like. Mm-hmm. And now all I can picture is her just tapping the top of your head lightly going, that's okay, Matt. I think I'll stay here.
I was thinking of a different head tap.
Oh, yeah.
So ready to move on?
I am.
Hey, man, what's new now? What's fucking new now?
My week, so I will go first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, I'm sure, are going to talk about your purchase that you got last week that you talked about. So you spend a sizable amount of money on stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And I did myself last week. I got my Varsity Blues Jonathan Moxon jersey.
I'm sure it did not cost as much as the USS flag.
Probably not. I could probably buy 100 of them for what the USS flag costs. But just to show that I am in the right place in my life, when my wife saw it, she's like, oh, that is so cool. So I married the right person.
Okay.
I talked about how we've been working on the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to actually hang the mirror in the bathroom last week, and Jen goes and opens it up, and it was in 1,000 pieces.
Oh, that's no good.
So I had to return it to Home Depot, and they said, what's wrong with it? And I just kind of shake the box a little bit. You hear that? And of course, it was something that was delivered to our house and ordered online. So it was not a simple one-to-one exchange. And they said, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want another one of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, do you want the return on going back to your credit card or do you want it on a gift card? I said, I want to buy the same thing.
I want to quit the gym.
They said, you don't understand. Do you want the return on your credit card or on a gift card? I said, no, you don't understand. I want to buy the same thing. And they said, we're at an impasse here. And I said, okay, if you return it to a gift card, can you use that gift card to immediately buy the thing I want to get? They're like, oh, sure. That's not a problem.
Do they have it at the store?
No, it's another thing that had to be shipped.
Oh, well, then I would have had to put back on my credit card and then gone and bought it online.
Same thing, though. I mean, it would have been another step I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But returning the mirror, and Jen, lately has been getting me to do all these onesie, twosie, tiny things, but they add up over the course of time. And it's almost busy work in a way. Can you drop this off at the post office for me? Can you return this? Can you do that? That. And I said, you've been having me do a lot of like just stupid, random, small shit lately. And she trump carded me.
Okay.
So she has a couple trump cards she could play.
Mm-hmm.
She can play the who makes more money. That's one. Mm-hmm. But you've seen the Blues Brothers, right?
I have.
In that, when they're trying to find a gig to help pay for the orphanage, Jake is listing off all of these clubs that this one guy got them. And it's like five different clubs. And then he says, and I got him late, so he owes me. She played that trump card.
Oh, okay.
Hockey. I am not good at hockey, and I'm fine with that. I'm never going to be good at hockey. And honestly, I don't know how much longer I can continue to play just because I'm 50.
It's hard on your body, man.
It is. And I take a little bit of pride in the fact that I try. I might suck, but I try.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people on my team that are very, very good, but they don't try. And because of that, I'm always number one, number two on the team for points, okay. which is weird because we have people on our team that are really, really good.
But they don't try.
But yeah. But what I mean is they don't try is they will go down. If somebody takes the puck away from them, they will not chase down that person. They'll just kind of like, where I will like try to run the person down.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a really good play where somebody was shooting the puck up and it was, you know, 4 or 5 feet off the ice. I knocked it down, took a shot on goal immediately after. And it's not an easy thing, even for people that are good at hockey to do. And I didn't score, but it bounced off the goalie, bounced to one of our guys, and he put it in. So I should have gotten an assist for that. Didn't get assist for either of my goals. But as we're going to the face-off afterwards, the guy that's lining up against me says, that was a hell of a play. I'm like, I'm just lucky. And then I did the same exact thing like a minute later. And he said, shut the fuck up about being lucky. quit sandbagging. And then the last thing is, you know how when you get your mail on your phone? Like your email?
Yes.
You know, I get a message that pops up, even when my phone is locked, that just gives me a thing who it's from and like the header of it.
Oh, see, I don't. I don't get notifications for mail. I get notifications for texts and Facebook Messenger and some other things, but certainly not my mail.
There is this company, it's called Analog, and they make retro video game consoles. And you know how if you're on eBay or on a store and you're looking at something, it gets out there and then they will send you things. Hey, we saw you were looking at whatever.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So I get this email notification that pops up, says $50 off anal.
What?
What?
I'm in.
How much is it? It's $50 off. Thought that was kind of funny, but over to you.
Okay. Several years ago, I want to say that my youngest son was in 4K, which would have made him 5 at the time because it was Christmas. We did a round robin with a couple of families in the subdivision and we went to one house. And
did you say he was in 4K?
Yeah.
Was that the year after 1080p?
You're so funny. If I had my bell here, I'd ring it.
Did you lose your bell again?
No. We were playing restaurant down here, and my youngest was the line chef in the back of the basement. And so he'd ding the bell and go, order up! And the bell's back there in the back of the basement. I forgot to bring it up. Anyway, there was a little girl that was in his class that belonged to this house. And there were some older kids, and they talked them into smooching a little bit, and then they held a little pretend wedding ceremony.
Okay.
Now, yep. Keep in mind, this is like 6 and a half years ago. On Saturday, we're out, and all of a sudden I get a notification on my Blink camera, and I'm like, who the hell is it? What is somebody, a little girl is sliding an envelope underneath the rug by the front door. And we get there, and she had served him divorce papers.
Was that like a long set for a joke, or did this actually happen?
This actually happened. And it was in a U.S. mail envelope, but it said U.S. mail person, please do not take. Now keep in mind, they're 11 years old. And it, you know, it was addressed to him from her. And he opened it up and it says, you know, divorce paper. She had typed that out, had her name, had his name, had her parents as witnesses. And then at the bottom, it said, the reason for divorce, we were too young and we no longer have anything in common.
That's awesome. That's like the long con.
And I go, do you even talk to her anymore? And he goes, no, I don't talk to her at all. So then I messaged her mom on Facebook and I told her about this. She didn't know about it either, but she thought it was hilarious. And I said, has she brought it up? And she goes, yeah, she brought up a couple of times that they were married, but never anything about a divorce or anything. I thought it was just fucking hilarious. I got my USS flag and it came in a big fucking box with a shit ton of packing peanuts. I'm like, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm telling you, imagine a 4 foot by 4 foot box that's 4 foot tall. That thing is 3/4 full of packing peanuts. Shit you not.
Well, or at least it arrived safe.
It did arrive safe. I am missing a piece though, which I messaged a guy about, and I'm like, and he's just like, I packaged it all up. I'm like, dude, it's not here. I went digging around in all the packing peanuts, opened up everything meticulously. It's not here. Well, I packed it up. I'm like, dude, it's not, the piece is not here. It's kind of an important piece. So we'll see what happens. But I start taking everything, and he had everything, every single fucking piece bubble wrapped individually. I mean, this guy was very meticulous, but I start kind of putting it together. And as I'm putting it together, I'm going, this is not the kind of toy that you put together and then you can pick up and move. It's once you put it together, that's where it's staying.
It's in place.
It's in place. So I had to kind of rethink what I was doing, but I'm looking at it and there's this long plastic piece that goes, slides through a couple of the bulkhead things that kind of makes it look like it's just one big solid piece.
Okay.
And once I get that thing in there and I slap the two ends together, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this thing's a fucking beast, man. I was not expecting it to be this big. I mean, you think 7 feet? I mean, when somebody says, oh yeah, there's a 7 foot alligator, and then you see it and you go, shit, man, that's a fucking 7 foot alligator. That's a big fucking alligator. This thing is huge. So I have a little bit of buyer's regret, but once I have it all set up and I know, and I've got a plan for it, it's going to be fucking awesome. So pretty excited about that. Took some Clorox wipes and wiped all the thing. I got a lot of dirt off of it. There's still some spots on her that are kind of dirty. And then, you know, you get the Facebook memories, right?
Sure.
And it's fun going down memory lane and, ran into this conversation where it was kind of like, you know, when I used to post political shit 14, 15 years ago, and I posted this thing about this boss having to lay people off because Obama is in the office and things are going to be more expensive and we have to pass the price on to the customer, or I can fire six people. So I went around the parking lot and I found six cars that had Obama bumper stickers on it and you're all fired. Ha 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 ha. And I posted that. And then, of course, Egg gets in there and you get in there. And then Bess's friend from that she grew up with got in there. And she was being like really kind of mean and just kind of like bully tactics and calling people stupid and really kind of saying stuff that she shouldn't have said. And she commented on what you had said.
Okay.
And would you like to hear your response?
Sure.
Quick thoughts. Yes, I played trombone in high school, and no matter how stupid I come off on Facebook, I am actually quite brilliant and test off the charts regarding IQ. Say I'm funny looking? I can't argue. Say my sense of humor stinks? You may be right. On the intelligence issue, that is just something that is proven. Mensa doesn't take dummies.
Sounds like me.
Yes. Sounds like me. I read that and I was just like, that is fucking awesome. And then a couple of weeks later, I had posted something else about Obama. And this was when socialized healthcare was coming into play. And I had posted something, actually a clip from Obama saying, this is why UPS is better than the U.S. Postal Service, because private does better than government. And I was just like, oh, how ironic, mm-hmm, that he would say something like that. And again, this girl Bess's childhood friend, who now lives in Florida, got on there and was just being mean. And her and Egg were going back and forth a little bit. And I just, you know, this was at the time when you can only look at Facebook on your desktop.
Yeah.
And, you know, shut it off and went to bed. And the next morning, there it is. You are a fucking cunt. You belong in North fucking Korea.
I was like, wow,
that escalated quickly. So, you know, I read a little bit, and then her husband got in there and was like, Mr. Longer, you cannot talk to my wife that way. And he's like, I'm going to talk to her any way that I want, because she's a fucking cunt. So I'm like, holy shit. So I deleted the whole conversation, and then I went to, like, message her and say, I am really, really sorry that things got out of control. She had unfriended me.
Yeah.
For that.
That's surprising.
And I was like, oh, okay. Good riddance. Cause I'm tired of you commenting on my Facebook page, stupid shit about your ideologies that I don't agree with. And I even said plenty of times, I'm like, look, this is all for fun. Nobody's supposed to be mean to each other. You know, I like you. I may disagree with some of the things that you think, and I'm sure you feel the same way, but we can all get along. We're civil. And yeah, that's kind of what happened. But that's really all I got, man.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Matt and Doug are at it again. Guess that sound and you are awesome. What movie will it be from? I really want to know.
Okay, I would not get this.
Okay.
You should.
Mm.
Three clips.
Mm-hmm.
The first clip is after the hint clip, because so it goes hint clip, main clip, reveal clip.
Okay.
There's a non-zero chance you will not get it after the reveal clip.
Okay.
So here we go.
Do they have blue eyes? The spies. They're riding the sandworms.
Yep. That is from Dune, from the original Dune.
Uh-huh. From David Lynch's version, which I think I'm going to revisit and watch. Now that I understand more of the Dune mythology and everything. Because when I was a kid, I watched that and I'm like, I have no fucking idea what's going on here. But I think I might revisit that.
I got to say, I honestly am impressed, but there was enough in there with the sand.
Yeah.
And you could hear like the clip where he's kind of spreading it and you could hear the sandworm scream, if you will.
Arr, yeah.
And the amazing thing is in that clip, if you watch that whole 4 minute clip or whatever it was that I watched to get that, some of the special effects are incredible and some of them are terrible.
Yeah.
In the same sequence. But here's the reveal.
Usul, these are 15 of our finest warriors to serve you as your guard. The fate of King.
My question though is, how is it in what's the name of the planet in Dune? Is
Arrakis.
It Dune? Okay, Arrakis.
Yeah.
How is it that they had carabiners and climbing rope?
They made do. I don't know, man. I mean, they were refugees there that have been there for a long time. So maybe they brought a bunch of stuff. Maybe they stole stuff from the, because there are cities on Arrakis.
No, but it looks like Earth climbing gear.
Oh,
is what I mean.
Okay. Oh, all right. I don't know.
Are you ready for the movie itself?
I am.
you talked about Facebook. This bed was influenced by Facebook comments. Specifically, some of the lyrics were changed to match what was said in some of the Facebook comments.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So
here we go.
It's a...
Sorry, that's the wrong one.
Spike to the scrot, and you must know the serpent and the rainbow. A zombie drug is what you crave. Go down to Haiti, have sex in a cave. Climbs on top, no Jimmy. Use no protection, got HIV. Oh, she's got dark nipples. Yeah. Oh, the locals are pissed. You're just a white boy, you win.
Hold on. What? This is one of those instances where I can just picture you with your hand, one hand on the on your headphones.
Yep.
And just like rocking out in front of the microphone. One of these days, when you do a lot of overlays, you know those videos of the guy that will like sing a song and then there'll be like six boxes of him all singing different parts of the song?
Okay, sure.
That I would like to see that from you one of these days.
That was one take.
That was wonderful. That was good.
No overdubs. Just one take.
Yeah.
Somehow I managed to sing different parts at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing.
Because originally it was nail through the sack. So I changed it to spike through the scrot.
Okay.
But that was the thing where I thought that the lyrics actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe the HIV thing was maybe a bridge too far.
Maybe a little bit, but
Haiti was known for.
I do make a comment about her dark areolas at one point also.
But The Serpent and the Rainbow was released on February 5th, 1988. It was written by Richard Maxwell, based on a book by Wade Davis, and directed by Wes Craven. Maxwell is best known for writing two episodes of Earth, The Final Conflict. Craven is best known for Last House on the Left. It stars Bill Pullman, best known for...
While You Were Sleeping?
Not being Bill Paxton or Jeff Daniels.
Okay.
Kathy Tyson, best known for some British TV. Zakes Mokay, best known for Body Parts with...
Jeff Fahey?
Paul Winfield, best known for Not Protecting Sarah Connor. And Teresa Merritt.
And also killing himself because Khan told him to.
Yes. Yeah. That comes up as well. But And Teresa Merritt, best known for not being Wheezy Jefferson.
I did say she was in this, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yep, she was in some other black exploitation television show from the 70s, though, wasn't she?
Well, there is, you never saw The Wire. So there's this one guy who says shit in The Wire. And I think he's been in the newest Superman movie. He's going to be Perry White.
Oh, all right.
And he's a guy that gets confused with another guy that looks very similar. And it's like, oh, that's very racist because you think this black guy looks like this black guy. But I gave three examples.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys always get confused for one another.
Yeah.
And they honestly don't even look that much alike.
No, they don't.
But it has a Rotten Tomato score of 62 with critics and 57 with audiences. It made $19.6 million on a $7 million budget. Did you see this in the theater?
I don't know. I don't know if I saw this in the theater. And after watching it this time, I thought to myself, why the fuck did Matt go see this three times in the theater?
You know the other movie in that time frame that I saw three times in the theater? Alien 3.
Really?
Yeah. And that was because I had seen it, and then a bunch of people are going to the movies, and they're like, hey, we're going to the movies. I'm like, okay. And then we get there, oh, we're seeing Alien 3. It's like, God damn it, I just saw this yesterday.
Well, that's why I saw Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves four times in the theater, because it's kind of the same thing happened.
You know, it couldn't have been Die Hard. No, Serpent in the Rainbow and Alien 3.
Yeah.
But it's a Universal film.
Uh-huh.
And we have a opening card.
In the legends of voodoo, the serpent is a symbol of earth. The rainbow is a symbol of heaven. Between the two, all creatures must live and die. But because he has a soul, man can be trapped in a terrible place where death is only the beginning.
That, of course, was gay Casey Kasem.
This is a mix between Casey Kasem and Carl Sagan. Okay. Billions and billions of stars.
But we see this red screen, and there it dissolves to the top of a coffin being polished.
Yes.
And this is Haiti in 1978.
Yeah. And there's a guy with a gun escorting a coffin, and people are watching him.
Well, he steals the coffin that the other guy was just polishing.
Like, did he steal it, or were they making it for him?
Well, he pointed the gun at him, so.
Oh, okay.
But as you said, this guy's going down the river, and people are running from one side of the bridge to the other side of the bridge to see this guy motoring past.
Yeah, and then they're marching through the street. No, on the boat. He's rubbing, like, white face paint all over his bald head and his face.
Okay.
And
do you know who else is there?
Not the guy from the 7-Up commercial.
The people have spoken and the choice is clear. The Uncola.
And this goes into a funeral. It's like a funeral in New Orleans, except it's cleaner.
Doesn't smell of urine.
But the voodoo guy has a gun. And voodoo stuff in general scares the shit out of me.
It does. It does. Me as well. Yeah. It's a little freaky, man.
This whole movie to this point, 3 minutes in, scares me. These shitty cities, the voodoo, but the coffin is now burning and it is dropped on the ground. And
yeah, all the people run inside, and in the shadow of the coffin on fire, we see a guy lighting a heater, and he looks a little worried.
And then inside, a woman who isn't Wheezy Jefferson is looking out the window. And do you know how many episodes of the Jeffersons there were?
No.
Okay. If you had to guess.
Okay.
Jeffersons, Friends. Which one had more episodes?
I'm going to say the Jeffersons, because I think they had more episodes back then.
The Jeffersons had 253 episodes and Friends had 236.
Okay.
But a doctor is checking a guy for signs of life.
Yeah.
I've never seen a stethoscope used for the mirror test before.
It makes perfectly good sense. I mean, it's in Haiti, they don't have mirrors, so that's what he had to use.
What?
It's a common fact, Matt. They don't have mirrors in Haiti.
You're a liar. You're
But there's nothing. No, after the mirror test, he sticks a needle, a syringe.
Uh-huh.
Into the guy's eye.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's I remember being in EMT, and I remember somebody saying that they would touch the eyeball with their bare finger, or with a gloved finger, to see if there's any kind of reaction.
But there's no reaction at all, so they close the dead guys.
Well, they take a picture of them.
Next day, there's a funeral.
Yes. The heater guy, the guy who lit the heater before and was looking awfully worried, is there. And a shallow grave is dug.
It's open coffin.
Yeah.
Woman says goodbye, and the coffin is hammered shut. And one thing we should say about these coffins, and this is probably a United States, we don't understand how the world works thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a coffin as, what, about 2 feet wide?
Looks super comfortable. Like, yeah, you could take a nap in there.
Yeah, exactly. It looks comfy. This does not look comfy at all. This is...
No.
He wouldn't even need packing peanuts in this to, like, keep, because it is basically right, he is spread right up to the edge of this coffin. It's probably a foot and a half wide. His head is barely wide enough.
Yeah. I never understood the funeral industry preying on people's weaknesses. Oh, your loved one must have this $6,000 marble engraved coffin with satin lining. Fuck that shit, man. I mean, I think we've had this conversation before. I'm like, you don't even need to get me a headstone, because guess what? In 100 years, nobody's going to fucking remember me. I might be a picture on the wall and they're going to be like, who's that? And it's like, oh, that's your gay Uncle Bertram.
Yeah. I'm not getting buried, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yes. So it's, you know, all the shit that I'm accumulating, the USS flag, it's just not going to matter in 100 years. So yeah, don't get a fucking headstone, you know, burn me up, spread my ashes, keep my ashes. I don't care, but make it simple. Keep it cheap, man.
But the coffin is hammered shut and there's a woman that's calling to the guy.
Christoph.
And then
go ahead.
We see the inside of the coffin.
Uh-huh.
And the guy has a tear rolling down his cheek as the woman is calling out to him.
Yeah.
This may be very uncomfortable.
All right.
Is they're throwing dirt on his coffin? Another reason why I won't get buried, but.
Well, you should watch the buried alive scene from Kill Bill 2. That scene's fucked up.
There's a movie with Ryan Gosling, I think, that is about him being buried alive.
Ryan Reynolds.
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, same thing.
Yes.
Face blindness. But 7 years later, in the Amazon basin, a helicopter is flying in, and we hear from our main character for the first time.
Field notes. Dr. Dennis Allen, Rio Negro Botanical Expedition, August 15th, 1985. Arrive at the clearing of the shaman Anhango, regarded as the most powerful spiritual man in the Amazon. There's something strange in the air today. Even my pilot's nervous. If I were superstitious, I'd say that something was closing in on me. The shaman senses it too. He decides in his own off-the-wall way to show me what it is.
Lone Star. But what does the shaman give Lone Star?
A urine sample cup.
A cup of chili.
Yeah. And he thanks him and he says, Harvard will put to good use at Harvard and it will help people. And then, is it the chopper pilot that interprets?
The interpreter.
Oh, he's like, wants you to drink it. There's something that he wants you to see.
It says you're going to see stars and shit.
Yeah. The Jovitos come in to guard the door so he can't get out. Yes. And he drinks some and like passes out within seconds.
Yeah. And the shaman smiles and later, maybe Lone Star awakes in the jungle and is being chased by a cheetah.
It's a leopard.
Leopard. Okay. Leopard. It's a small one.
There's leopards and there's pumas. You know what the difference is?
No, there's a joke coming here, but
no, pumas are a solid color.
Okay.
That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only difference is, or maybe is that panthers? Panthers and pumas. I don't know. It's I'm all mixed up with the pussy.
But it's a small one. It's a small one. It's still big, but it's a small one. It comes up and he starts petting it and they're rolling around and playing. And then we see the shaman. And what does he see?
He sees Dennis rolling around by himself without the leopard.
And he says, man, he's tripping balls.
Yeah, he is. And the wind blows and the shaman, he covers himself up with his cloak.
And Helen Hunt shows up in her truck and releases a bunch of balls.
Okay.
The wind picks up and
yes. Have you seen the trailer for the new Twister movie?
For Twisters?
Yes.
There's no reason for that movie. I mean,
there's really not. It's pretty much the same concept, except it's with Glenn. What's his face? The guy that they are really, really trying to make this guy into a big time movie star. You know who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the guy from It's Top Always Gun. Sunny? Oh, Glenn. I have no idea then.
He's like the smart aleck hotshot pilot. He's also, do you know who Sydney Sweeney is? Blonde, yeah, big tits.
She was in the movie that just bombed.
And he's the star. He's the leading man.
Glenn Powell.
There you go. Yeah, they are. Hollywood is doing their very best to turn him into the next big thing.
Well, you know who Joel McHale is?
Yeah.
He's someone that they tried to make him into like a huge star for a long time.
Yeah, same with Sam Worthington. Did you remember there's like a 2 or 3 year period where Sam Worthington was in everything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And he still works consistently.
Yeah.
But he's not that guy because he still has big roles, but he's not
a leading man anymore.
A leading man, no. Yeah. At least not for big movies. But he goes over to the shaman who has covered himself up, but it is the guy from Haiti who lit up a heater.
Yes.
And he snarls at him.
Yes. And then some hands come up and they pull Dennis into the ground. And then
did you see the hand just obviously grabs his dick?
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And he starts cranking down on it.
Oh, ew. Then he's in like an underground tunnel and there's more hands and he's holding on to a hand and it breaks and he falls and he wakes up with a broken vine in his hand.
And he can't find anyone and he wanders out into a river and there are a bunch of skulls on sticks and some mm-hmm. of the skulls are smoking.
Yeah.
Not like they don't have heaters, but they're on fire or formerly on fire. But he gets to the helicopter, opens the door and is talking to the pilot. But what does the pilot have on his face?
Well, he's dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he has. What does he have on his face? A tarantula? Oh, mealworms. Okay. Yes.
And I guess I don't even know what mealworms actually are. I just think of them as food for pet iguanas. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what mealworms turn into, some sort of moth or something.
But and one thing you'll notice is most of my clips are narration. I did not pull all the narration, but most of my clips are narration, and he narrates a little bit more here.
Something much more evil and powerful than the shaman or his men has killed my pilot. I know this as clearly as I feel the darkness and the cold closing in on me.
You are in the Amazon. Would you rather be in the jungle in the Amazon or in the river in the Amazon?
They're in the jungle.
No, but which would you, if you had a choice of being on land or being like in the river? I don't know, because they're shit that can kill you both places.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
But he wanders up a bank and is looking around and lots of jungle shots showing the passage of time. Maybe he sees the cat again and it runs away and he follows it up a steep hill, then falls down a deep hill on the other side onto a road. And truck is coming up. It's a Coca-Cola truck and he tries to flag it down, but they don't stop. And he starts walking down the road, just yelling. And then we cut back to where?
Boston.
And he got a call from Alfred.
Yes.
Master Wayne, sir.
It's his old professor, and offer
from a pharmaceutical yes. company with an interesting job offer. It's a Biocorp, and they're in a big conference room.
Yes. And they're dumbfounded how he was able to walk out of the jungle 200 miles.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this guy, I think, is in from CSI.
He is. Care to guess how many episodes of CSI he was in?
355.
317.
Huh. Okay. But he says that his spirit guide helped him get out. And the guy from Biocorp says they deal with science, not magic. All they care about is he came back with sample medications.
Right. Right. And then he asks, what do you know about zombification?
What?
Right. Well, we've got a death certificate of this Christoph and know nothing about him. He was buried 7 years ago. And hold on a second.
Well, they go through the list. It's like no heart rate, no respiration, no pupil dilation, no response to pain. They kicked him in the nuts.
That's where the know nothing comes from. Yeah. Sometimes I'm supposed to like interpret my notes.
Okay.
I can't.
Well, it was worth mentioning those, but he's put in a coffin. That was 7 years ago, but they have a picture of him from last week.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a twin.
He's alive. And maybe you don't like the word zombie, but find something else that you're comfortable with. And what was it that he took or whatever?
And he looks up he looks at the pictures, and then the three of them have this conversation.
You really believe this?
The Haitians surely do.
A drug. It has to be a drug, right? Anesthesia. That's what I was thinking. A totally new anesthetic that could revolutionize medicine. Now, what if this zombie drug could be discovered? 40 to 50,000 lives a year are lost on the operating table, and not because of surgery, but because of anesthetic shock. 40 to 50,000 lives a year could be saved in the U.S. alone, Dr. Allen. And more, worldwide, if properly marketed.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
It could be something more complicated than drugs. It could be the proof, perhaps, of the soul.
Come on, Scooney. Where's the location of the soul? Under the hood, next to the battery? No. The soul begins and ends with the brain. This drug, this is something totally new. We don't have anything that can put somebody in, then back out of death.
And all we gotta do is go and get it.
They said that between 40 and 50,000 people a year die due to anesthesia.
That's a lot.
That can't be right.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's okay. Well, how great is this anesthesia? I mean, if you were under the operating table, would you want to be knowing what the fuck is going on?
No.
Knock my shit out. I don't want anything, man.
I just think I've been put out. Three times?
Let's see. Me, colonoscopy.
Yep.
What's the one that goes down your throat?
Blowjob.
Yes, that. Two knee surgeries, wisdom teeth, and a broken wrist.
So I had colonoscopy. I had a growth removed from my skull. They put me out for that. And then...
Was it a giant boil filled with semen?
All gay jokes up and down. No, and the funny thing is I had surgery, and when you're put out with anesthesia, you cannot drive home. You have to have somebody there with you.
Yeah.
And so Jen came with me, and I had a soccer game that night, and I told her, it's like, if I feel up to it, I 100% plan on playing tonight. And she said, absolutely not. No. And I said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. If the doctor says I can play, can I play? She said, sure. The doctor is not going to fucking say you can play. So we're getting ready for the whole thing. And I said, hey, I have a soccer game tonight. Can I play? He's like, yeah, sure. It's not a problem. He's like, just don't get hit in the head where you're going to. And I had to play with like a bandage wrapped around my head.
Don't touch me. I'm special.
But he's, you know, what did you call him? The guy called Lone Star?
Dennis.
He says that he doesn't believe in this stuff.
Yeah. What do you believe in what happens to you when you die? What do you believe that you've got a soul? Do you believe that you're just energy that transforms to other energy? What's Matt's belief on the afterlife?
I don't know. It is very similar to my belief on religion.
Yeah.
In that I know enough to know that I don't know.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel. My wife and her mother believe in reincarnation.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, my mother-in-law believes that she was an Indian. My wife believes that I was a World War II soldier. And I'm like, why do you
on
feel
which
that
side?
Way? Well, that is an excellent point to bring up next time she says that, because she goes, well, you're so interested in World War II. And I go, you don't understand. I was raised on this shit. Those were the movies that we watched. We had libraries full of Time Life books and any other kind of World War II picture books. That was my afternoon reading. That's why I'm interested. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, okay. Believe what you want. I don't believe I was a World War II soldier.
I could murder the joke again. What, falling out of the guard tower?
What?
You know, died in a concentration camp.
Oh.
Fell out of a guard tower.
Oh, geez. That's bad.
Well, I've told that joke on, and I murder it each time because I don't know exactly how it goes. But Dennis and Alfred, and the reason I'm calling him Alfred is he is the guy who played Alfred to
Wayne. I was reincarnated. I in my past life I died in a concentration camp, and I was reincarnated. But that's a tough one. That's a tough one to do without murdering it, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, that's where I was going with it, is like, you'd say that, you know, you died in, yeah. Oh, anyway, but he has this exchange with Alfred about voodoo.
Honestly, I never understood Vulcan mysticism.
You don't have to believe. I'm not even sure that I believe.
Probably not the last Star Trek clip that will pop up in this podcast today.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I know for sure, just from me. But anyway, so now Dennis is down in Haiti, and he has some observations about where he is.
This is one of the poorest countries in the world. It has revolution in the air. It's got a ruthless dictator in the palace. So I had expected a certain sense of oppression. But what I hadn't expected was that the dark presence from the Amazon would instantly come over me here, as real as a cold hand falling on my shoulder. And I also didn't expect Dr. Duchamp to look like Dr. Duchamp did.
Is she hot?
She's okay.
She's not unattractive.
No.
But I wouldn't say she's hot, but right. She says he's easy to pick out in the crowd. Well, because he's white.
Hey, Whitey, nice hat.
They actually refer to him as Blanc.
They do, multiple times.
Which means white.
Yeah.
But they're talking, and she sees some cops coming towards them, and
yes,
she hustles him inside.
Yeah, they know you are here.
And some guy is chained to a wall and is sitting on the bench and starts freaking out.
Yeah, because they're in her medical clinic.
And all these people are handcuffed.
Yeah, and what is her name? Marielle?
Marielle, yes.
Yes, okay. But she shows him Marguerite, and this is a gal that died and was buried 15 years ago, and they found her wandering around.
In the marketplace last year, yep.
Uh-huh.
She looks great for somebody that's been dead for 15 years.
Right, but he looks at her hands, yeah, and they're all jacked up. And he speaks French to her, and she looks at him with crazy eyes.
Yeah, she looks into his soul, and he gets a little freaked. And then they ask about Christophe, and yeah, he's around, and he speaks, and even speaks some English, also has some memory. Mm-hmm. And Lone Star, can't remember his name. Dennis. Says
Dennis.
He wants to see him right away, and Marguerite is upset he's leaving. And then before we go on, because there's a little bit more voiceover here, you missed a couple things. He asks her about handcuffs and if it's a good idea, if this is the right place for people to be handcuffed. She says, you got to understand, it's 500 patients.
Yeah.
There's only three doctors. And she gives one of the patients a Bill Murray-sized shot of Thorazine.
Okay.
And handcuffs are the only thing Haiti has enough of, besides HIV. But then we go to a voiceover, a warning. That's what he got from Marguerite.
Yeah, the eyes were a warning.
And they are at a party or a nightclub or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy's eating fire and another guy's eating glass.
And yeah, it's not fire. He's chewing on hot coals and he's just giggling about it.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked a little about the soul, what you think. There are things that if you were to go to Haiti, for example, or a place that had stuff like, you would see some of the shit and you would just be, okay, I don't get it.
Yeah. And Haiti is, I mean, it is a real shithole. Haiti is, and the Dominican Republic make up the island Española, right?
That I do not know.
I'm pretty sure. And if you look at a satellite image of Española, you can definitely see like a dividing line where the Dominican Republic is lush and green and Haiti is nasty and brown.
Oh, kind of like when you see North Korea in South Korea, where there's lights in South Korea, there's none in North Korea.
Now, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's the case, that those two countries make up that island.
But I just refer to the doctor as the doctor for the rest of this. And she takes him to see a voodoo priest who dabbles a little bit of everything. He runs a nightclub, mines Bitcoin, but he does not give out info. And who's the doctor?
It's Paul Winfield.
Yes, and his name is Lucien.
Yes, he is.
And he says the spirits are happy tonight, and Dennis asks about... I'm going to have to write that down somewhere. Dennis asks about Christoph.
Yeah.
And well, people have seen him.
I really don't have much to say. And then Marielle goes, why are you being difficult? You have people all over the island. And he goes, Haiti is full of contradictions.
Dancers don't bleed. They don't burn.
These people, the dude with getting... Then they show another dude getting needles in his lips and his cheeks. And the blonde chick that's doing that, that's Bill Pullman's wife. And then Lucien says to Marielle, I'm calling the love god in. Will you dance? And she stands up pissed off and says no and storms off.
And then Dennis asks if everything's all right. And well, we'll go to Christoph's village tomorrow, but it won't help. And she leaves and Lucien says, oh, don't worry, she'll be fine.
But then some guy grabs her and spits like a bunch of liquid in her face.
And the heater guy, the guy from the Amazon Vision, is there in a white suit.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis notices him, but the guy has a bodyguard with him. His name is Petrad.
Petrad.
Or
I just refer to, DP. I refer to him as heater guy.
He's a guy to watch, a black magician.
Well, yeah.
That's
chief of the
racist.
Secret police. Have you seen him? Yes. Well, be careful.
In Haiti, and Haiti are secrets we keep from ourselves.
Yeah. And then we see Marielle and she's doing some dirty dancing.
And Dennis is getting a little turned on and she has something in her hand and she comes over to pull him up to dance and he sits back down. And Lucien says for her, possession is as natural as breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing some kind of solo dance and we hear clinking glasses and drunks and there's a guy has a headache.
It's the heater guy is tapping his glass.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yes. Think he's interrupting whatever spirits or voodoo that's going on right now. He's disrupting that. And then yes, the dancer is having some big time problems. She falls. The dancer who's having some big time problems grabs the guy, tosses him. Lucien scolds him. But then the guy grabs a machete and Dennis breaks a bottle over his head. And then Lucien puts a black cloth over his head and the dude passes. And he puts his hand on his head and goes, remember.
What are you, a fucking parrot?
Yeah, he just goes to sleep like a bird.
Yeah, yeah, passes him out. He passes his katra to him.
But the doctor starts coming out of her trance and the crowd claps and DP gives a smirk to Dennis as he leaves and we fade to black. Movie's over. The movie was shorter than I remember it being. It
was not very long at all. No.
But the next day we get more voiceover as Dennis and the doctor are at Christoph's village.
Marielle never mentioned what had happened the night before, but from what I knew of possession, she probably didn't even remember it. Maybe it was just as well. We asked around Christoph's village, but no one, not even the village voodoo priestess, would help.
I told you. He is dead. What should I know about the dead?
The whereabouts of Christoph remained a mystery until his sister found us.
And, the sister says something to them, and then a door closes, and somebody goes in. And that night, Dennis and the doctor drive up to a cemetery by the village.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor says Christoph is obsessed with death, but apparently this is the third cemetery they've checked.
Yes.
And as they're kind of walking around, we, the audience, see that there are other people there, but they don't see them.
Wait, say that again?
We, as the audience, see that there are other people in this cemetery other than the doctor and Dennis. They're kind of sneaking around. And Dennis...
Oh, Mr. Marbles is...
Mr. Marbles?
We hear a goat. See, goats are always kind of like that satanic animal, ritual animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We actually says a goat is heard, then seen. And Dennis says, this is ridiculous. Let's get out of... And then jump scare.
Yes. And he falls backwards into a grave with the body. And Marielle says, it's just grave robbers.
Yeah. The doc is kind of mocking him. And he says, let's quit jacking around. We're not going to find Christoph. And I'm not even sure he's alive. And she says,
he thinks it's a scam because he knows the clinic needs money.
And his buddy talked him up as if he was a god. And she calls him a piece of shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He runs after her, but who does he run into?
Christoph.
And the doctor introduces herself. Do you remember me? And he does. And then she introduces Dennis. And what happened before you died? And he remembers it all.
Mm-hmm.
He says the coffin, the burial, saw it all. Were you sick? And then Christoph ignores the question. And he starts talking about...
Buried alive. Buried alive.
But...
So, yeah, Christoph says the Bokor, B-O-K-O-R, mm-hmm. made him like this, took his soul and makes him do evil things, sends me into people's dreams.
He put creatures in our bodies to control our minds.
It's all right, you're safe now.
Made us say lies, do things.
Yep, so very close to each other.
Yeah. And
Dennis wants a blood test and a thumbprint. I don't know if I want to be messing around with this guy's blood.
No. Yeah, but you can't take me to the clinic. This is my place.
Well, Christoph says this cemetery is his place, not with the living. And
right.
Dennis is trying to talk him down. They're tricking you. Tell us mm-hmm. what they did to you so they don't do it to others.
Yeah, it's a powder. It runs into the soul. And then he wiggles away and Christoph is gone.
But the next day, the doc and Dennis are back in town and Dennis goes into his hotel and then into his room. And what does he find?
A pig crucified over his bed.
And then he sees somebody with a machete and he bolts.
Yeah. Well, would you?
Yeah. Well, there's several times in this where I'm just like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck this powder. I don't care. I'm out of here.
Right. But next we see Lucien, Paul Winfield, is officiating some sort of wedding or...
Yeah, he's performing bonding, a wedding. And there's something bonding, with a bonding, bird.
Some doves, yes. And Dennis comes in with Marielle and he says, hey, we found Christoph. And Lucien says, let's go talk.
Yeah, he says, he told us about the poison. And Lucien kind of looks around and says, ixnay on the oisenpe. Let's go inside.
If you blunder into this, my people will get hurt. And then Dennis goes, hey, this can help people. And Lucien goes, I know a man who can make the powder.
But what does the doc say about this whole thing? What does she say? She says that the world needs to know.
Okay.
And then Lucien says,
pop quiz, hotshot.
Sorry.
Shut up, silly woman.
But what are we at now? My favorite thing.
A cockfight? Yeah. There's a guy there holding little Jerry Seinfeld.
But they're there to see Mozart.
Uh-huh.
And Mozart wants to know if this is important. Somebody says, rich, powerful Americans. America. And he says, they have an enemy. Dennis says, they have an enemy. They want to turn into a zombie. And Mozart's like, oh, that's it? $100.
Mm-hmm.
They follow him and he talks.
You've come to the right place. Your enemy is as good as dead. I will catch his soul like a spider catches a fly in his web and pop in a canary. Like this one. You keep the zombie's soul sealed up. It makes the flesh your slave. Gives you power. You send it into people's dreams.
Whose soul is that?
This place is Pivia's own.
Is that right?
$100. I cast a spell to Kudair. Too late.
It's not the spell that I want. What I'm after is the powder.
The Kudair.
Some say there is such a thing. Some say it.
You said they get people gonna die? But Dennis starts to walk away and he name drops Lucien.
Yeah, and then Mozart changes his tune.
$1,000.
Yeah, they negotiate, yes. And then he goes, I have some powder. And they go back into a back room, and Mozart says, we must be very careful. And Dennis says, well, how do we know that it works? Well, you want proof? Yeah. And he gives it to a goat, and the goat more or less passes out. Is that really how?
Yeah.
But while Mozart is flirting with Marielle, Dennis makes a mark on the goat's foot.
And yeah, he says that the dock is hot, and is she looking for work? Dennis may hook you up more, but I'll make you come a lot better.
Yeah.
And he wants to know where Mozart wants to know where the money is. And Dennis says, you get it tomorrow when I see the goat rise from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they say that they can't go back to the hotel. And
so they immerse themselves in some sort of pilgrimage.
Okay.
And they have this kind of longer conversation about faith and science that, I mean, it is what it is. But well, she has something.
Religious people. And that's the disconnect, or how do you rationalize or put the religious aspect and the scientific part of it together on your faith? And she says that there is a huge crossover in Haiti between voodoo and the Catholic Church.
Well, she says Haiti is 85% Catholic, but 110% voodoo.
Mm-hmm. But there's a procession,
mm-hmm,
with a Virgin Mary, and lots of people are marching with candles and torches, and they're marching into what appear to be ruins, and the music, yeah, it is speeding up, and then it just stops. And a bunch of people are sleeping in the jungle. Hundreds of them are sleeping, mm-hmm, in the jungle, and lots of candles. And the candle budget for this film was $1 million. But
okay.
Dennis is sleeping next to the dock, and where did he get the blanket from?
Yeah.
But we move in on the dock, and then we see that Dennis appears to be having a nightmare, and a big snake slithers over the dock and starts to go over Dennis's blanket. And this happens several times where he wakes up suddenly with a start.
Yes.
And the snake is not there.
Yes. And he sees Kristoff with a zombie bride.
Yeah. A puppet. Yeah.
He's holding it like a puppet, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
But then she starts walking towards him, and he backs away, and she raises her veil, and she's not good. I mean, she's a zombie, and a big snake comes out of her mouth and bites him in the face, and then he wakes up, and it's daytime.
And the doc asks,
so a dream, a dream within a dream. Like, have you ever seen Inception?
Inception, yes. Spinning, yeah, top.
Uh-huh.
But it's a bad dream. Still tons of people in the jungle. And then people are swimming, and the Virgin Mary statue is in the water, and we get some more voice over.
She tells me this is one of the cathedrals of Haiti, a place not only of great beauty, but of great spirit as well. And maybe the place is magical.
Is this a flirting thing? She's running some water over his face, and she says these waters are healing, and he needs to be cleansed in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. And then he rubs water over her neck, then her face. And are they going to bang in a cave?
Yes, they are.
I did not remember this part.
Yeah.
I thought this was a church, though. She said this was one of the Haiti's biggest cathedrals.
Well, I guess
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a church can be anything that you make it, man.
But there are cave paintings that are fairly sexual,
mm-hmm,
for stick paintings. But she's riding cowboy, and he starts to take off her top, and he looks like he's getting more excited as she's taking off her top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sure does.
He's already in her. How does he get more excited when he's already in her?
I don't know.
But we see some nipples.
They're dark. She's got dark areolas.
Like Hershey's chocolate kisses. But she's showing her O face in slow motion. And then we fade to white. And this is one of a couple times during the film where we get a news report either heard or seen.
Mm-hmm.
But this news report says that martial law has been declared in Haiti. And there's unrest and the cops are roughing people up. And we get some more voiceover, talks about how it went from being peaceful to not so peaceful. But in the middle of all this, he can't stop thinking about Christophe.
And yeah. Why make anybody a zombie?
And Dennis is asking the doc about Christophe if she knew him. Nope. Knew of him. He was just a teacher. No one important, but he spoke for the rights of the people. That's why they made him a zombie. Instead of inspiring people, now he scares them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get another jump scare. This time it's the police hitting the door of the Jeep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they come and get him. And they take him into a building. And he hears some dude getting worked over, getting tortured. And he looks at a small coffin. And what's in the coffin?
Looks like medical tools.
I think torturing tools.
Yeah, it's a kind of medicine.
Yes. The heater guy comes in and he goes, why are you here?
It's Dargent Petrad is his name.
Petrad.
Okay. Dargent or DP for sure. Yeah. Why are you in Haiti?
Yeah. I'm a tourist. I'm just here to see the sights. Oh, why did you visit the asylum? I'm an anthropologist. It's a write-off. And then Petrad goes, you don't even know what a write-off is.
Neither do you, but they do. And they write it off.
Yeah.
DP says the doc is a radical. And, uh-huh. And then Dennis says, well, she was radical in the sack. Hey-o!
Hey! Yes. And he also says, so is Christophe. And then mentions that the U.S. would like anarchy here. And he goes, this is not Grenada. Which, this must have happened a couple of years after the invasion of Grenada, where there was civil unrest and the Cubans moved in, but there were a bunch of medical students there that from America. And then Clint Eastwood with his Marine Recon unit went in.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's a clusterfuck.
Yes.
But he gives him back his passport. Now we hear a baby crying. And then Mozart is at a party and Doc and Dennis pull up and they're there about the goat. They want to check on the goat.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, do we have to do this now? They threatened you. And Dennis says, as long as we're out of the city, we're good. And how the fuck would he know? This is her country.
Exactly. Yeah. But they go into the bar and Mozart shows him the goat and there's no mark on the foot.
And he starts to walk away. And then Mozart goes after him and he says, money for the powder, as we agreed. And then Dennis does give Mozart the money. And he says that Mozart is a joke. And Mozart defends himself. My powders work. Maybe I cast a spell on you. And then what does Dennis do?
He dumps the powder into the drink and drinks it and then looks at Mozart and says, it's piss. And Mozart goes, you're a dead man.
And he walks out and the doc is following. Doc goes, what are you doing?
And yeah, we have to delay him. What do you know about radiators? And he starts fiddling with the radiator cap. And Marielle goes, you have some sort of macho death wish? It was poison. And Dennis goes, yeah, probably rat poison.
And then he does the coin behind the ear gag.
Yes. And he shows her the powder.
He doesn't believe in the no-win scenario. So he changed the conditions of the test.
Uh-huh.
Tricks of the trade. But Mozart is coming out and he tells the doc to wait in the car. And he's surprised that Dennis is still alive. I can make you the powder you want. No tricks this time. The real stuff. Why would he believe him now?
Yeah, I don't know.
But there are rules. You have to make it with me.
You have to make it. And so now they're at the cemetery and he has Dennis dig.
Did you notice how many moon shots that they had?
No.
Shots of the moon. It's very cliche, but okay. They're in the cemetery.
Yeah. And it's a small coffin. And Dennis goes, it's not a kid, is it? No, it's a sorceress. She had powder and it's the bride. It's the bride zombie from
power.
His dream.
She had power.
Oh, what did I say?
Power. Powder. You said powder.
I meant power. Yes.
Yeah. It's a woman from his nightmare that he had last night.
Yeah.
He covers it, stinks, and they'll start tomorrow. And Dennis and the doc pull up to her place, and she says she might have some of her dad's shirts. And
Dennis says, just say that they couldn't go back to the apartment or place. That's why they had to go with the pilgrimage. What? They've already been threatened by the chief of police.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Well, and things are going to get worse.
Yes, they are.
But Dennis says his shirt is fine. She's, no, it's not. You stink.
Yeah. Yeah. But the cops are there. They fight and he gets pistol thwacked on the back of the head.
And now DPE has Dennis tied up naked to a chair and he's blowing something on his face. It's acetylene, well, I believe.
It's acetylene, yes, to wake him up.
You have a pretty face. Girls must like your pretty white face.
Yeah.
And then he lights the torch. What do you call that? The little quick, quick thing?
A sparker? I'm not sure.
DP lights the torch and then he lights his cigar with the torch and
we'll leave your face. And Dennis goes, okay. You made your point. I'm on the next plane. Oh, too late. You were warned.
I'm a U.S. citizen. Think about that. And then to that,
I'm sorry.
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
He said, U.S. consulate, but Dennis says he's in medical research. Lots of money in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
DP doesn't want money.
No, he does not.
What does he want?
What do you want to hear? I want to hear you scream.
Play some rap music.
They pull out a big spike and they spread his legs and Matt needs to take him underwear shopping. His tighty whities are down around his ankles.
This whole scene just got me rock hard.
I bet it did.
But they tie his legs to the legs of the chair. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear a scream. Okay. And then Dennis screams, but it's kind of half-hearted.
Yeah.
And then
give me your war cry. bullshit.
Then DP puts a stake or a spike through Dennis's scrotum.
Yeah.
Now he really screams.
Yeah, not good enough. Bang. And then they dump him at the house in his tidy whities. So Matt has not taken him underwear shopping yet.
Yeah, and it's just the image of him being tossed out of the car and his red speckled tidy whities.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he is recovering for multiple days.
For 3 days, Marielle has been my guardian angel, hiding me, nursing me back to health. The wound Petro inflicted was struck for fear, not injury. I'm alive, intact. She told me this morning that she wants me to go before they kill me. But I can't do that.
And I left that little bit in there because as they're walking out, he falls and she says, you shouldn't be out here. You shouldn't even be walking. And I understand he's there for a job. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing is worth this.
No reward is this.
It's worth this.
Yeah. When you can hang earrings from your scrotum, it's time to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Some people are into that shit, man.
But Dennis says the recipe took 1,000 years to get it right. I want to learn it. And then I think this is yours.
This is yours. You're right.
He just went through the scrotum, right? Little pain, little terror. He scared me, okay?
The phrase, he just went through the scrotum, should never be it's not that big of a deal statement.
No, it's not that. Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been his cock or it could have been one of his nuts.
Well, I think that's the thing. When I first saw this movie, we didn't know what it was.
Right.
And that's why that's why that's stated here.
Mm-hmm.
Is so we know that.
Yes.
But still, I remember sitting in the theater just being like,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now they're showing them actually making the powder.
And hold on a second. They're wearing burlap sacks.
Yeah.
Burlap sacks, Jerry. Or George.
Yeah.
The ingredients of the powder are terrifically varied. There's the poisonous sea toad, Bufo marinus, the same animal Lucretia Borgia used, made even more toxic by frightening it with a stinging sea worm. And the pufferfish, which produces one of nature's most powerful poisons, tetrodotoxin. Plus a whole pharmacy of herbs, minerals, charred, then ground, and mixed with a skill that's astonishing.
And that we use 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, but that's the Colonel's secret.
All this is woven together with a net of magic beyond anything we know.
Isn't the end goal that he wants to be able to take this back so they can mass produce it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But they're laying out, I'm assuming the white stuff is some kind of chalk on the ground, and they're making these religious symbols and stuff. Isn't that part of the whole process that they have to do to make this process?
I mean, if they're believing in voodoo magic, yeah.
But the process will take 3 days and nights, and can't eat the powder and food. It would kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing masks. And then Dennis has his hands lit on fire.
Well, he's got some sort of gel on there. They both have their hands on fire. And then he has to split open the skull of the corpse bride.
You ever see a skull come apart like that?
And then they have to bury the toxin with the corpse for one more day and then come back in 24 hours.
But Mozart asks why he wants it. Must want it pretty bad. You stood up to DP and it's like, it's not for him. It isn't for anybody. It's to help the people of the world. Could be used all over the world. And then Mozart is, hey, you going to tell people about me? Come back in 24 hours and you'll have your powder. And the doc is washing Dennis's hair as they hang out at a beach house.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dennis goes 24 hours. It seems like a really long time.
I would think that would be, you know, just prime sack recovery time.
Mm-hmm.
You think though, I don't know. I've never had a torn sack. I've never had a punctured sack, but I would think that any kind of sack damage would sideline you sexually for a period of time.
One would think. Yeah. Yeah, sure would.
But they're sleeping in a mosquito net and Dennis wakes up, or is this another vision? And what does he see?
There's a boat coming towards him on fire, and the corpse bride is on the front of the boat.
Saying that she's the king of the world. Yeah.
Yes. And then we cut to her walking in and she's calling his name, and we see the leopard, and he goes to the door, and the shades, what would you call those, plantation shades?
Shutters. Yeah.
All close. And now he's kind of, he's in a grave looking up.
Very, very deep. I call it a coffin, but.
Yeah.
And blood is streaming down the side walls.
Yes. And Matt has yet to take him underwear shopping again. Jesus, Matt, I would have thought you would have gotten on this by now.
It's Haiti. The market was closed. But DP is calling for him. And it's kind of a cool effect of him knocking on the door. And the camera rotates 90 degrees. And now he's in the coffin that's filling with blood, and he's screaming as the blood slowly overtakes him.
Yeah.
And he wakes up and he's sweating, and what's in bed next to him?
A decapitated woman.
I thought that was the doc.
So did I. I had to go back and go, wait a second. They did not kill her off, did they?
And it is not. But the police bust into the house with guns and cameras.
Yeah, and they take pictures, and then they take Dennis, and then we see Marielle, and go, oh, okay, that was not her, to the station, to the police station, and he sees the chair, and he freaks out a little bit. He goes, and the heater guy goes, hey, not this time. We are way beyond that. And they takes them to a room with jars filled with souls.
These canary hold the souls of those who were masters in the realm of the spirits. Now their spirits serve me. She knows I'm telling the truth, that such things are possible.
I know the price you will pay for what you have done.
The photographs we took today are quite convincing. If you return, you'll be tried for the murder of Christoph's sister. The courts will take your life, but that will be only the beginning. After you're dead, I'll take your soul.
So you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to the car.
What'll happen to Maria?
You go home. She's home. She's Haitian. I have no reason to hurt her once you're gone.
This is the way.
This is the way. This is the way.
By the way, Dr. Allen, What did you dream about this afternoon? The woman in your arms? The sea at your doorstep? No. You dreamt of me and of the grave. I know, because I was there. And I can be there every time you close your eyes. The pain I cause you in the room upstairs is nothing to the pain I can cause in your own mind. Remember that, Dr. Allen.
So Dennis finally actually decides to do the smart thing.
He gets the fuck out. Well, he doesn't have a choice. They take him by gunpoint to a Pan Am plane.
Yep.
And Dennis is staring at the heater guy from the plane. And all of a sudden, well, who's there on the plane?
Well, they put him in the bulkhead seat and they take off the cuffs. And the secret police guy that brought him in had some sweet diagonal sideburns, which I'd never seen before.
Right.
And what does Dennis do when they take off the handcuffs?
I don't know.
He does the rubbing of the wrists.
Oh, okay.
But he's looking out the window at DP and the secret police. But Mozart is there.
Yeah. Hey, you promised me $1,000. And then Dennis goes, well, they took all my money. Take it anyway. You must tell them about me. Tell them my name.
And I will. I know that you're a man to be trusted. And they shake hands. And what does Mozart take?
His watch.
On account.
On account. On account. Yes. Yeah. And so now Dennis is holding this jar. How the fuck does he get that through customs?
My next thing is, they do not show Dennis go through customs. Do you have anything to declare? Well, they drove a spike through my sack. That's for starters.
Move along. Welcome back to the United States.
I had sex in a cave. Why are you telling us this? I'm telling everyone. But yeah, he's back in Boston. And apparently they're already doing tests as he is talking to the business guy. And they're looking at a computer. And they tested it on some baboons.
Yes.
And
well, actually, I'm sorry. This is yours.
You use baboons, right?
That's right. Put the powder in the palms, went right into the blood. 10 to 20 minutes later, they were dead. Or at least they looked dead.
My God. Are these numbers accurate?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the shift seems radical.
I know, but it's double-blind, triple-checked.
These are typical brain scans from some of our subjects. It's very focused. It targets only certain areas of the brain. You see? Hair, vital functions. Breathing, heart rate. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody turned it off with a switch. But here, in the areas of the brain controlling sensory awareness, thoughts, and emotions. Bang.
So the animals know what's happening to
them? Yeah, the entire time. A man would, too. You'd hear, see, maybe even feel, think, but you couldn't do anything about it. You'd just lie there, looking
dead. And be buried.
But you'd be alive.
Buried alive. Buried alive.
This has to be 6 months, a year later.
You think?
How long would it take them to synthesize that little jar of powder? Because that jar of powder would not be enough for more than one or two tests. So they would have had to analyze that, figure out a way to produce massive amounts of it to actually do double blind, triple check studies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
But later that night, Dennis is actually talking to himself.
And I reminded myself, the tests revealed the powder wore off after 12 hours or so, leaving the victim completely normal again. Except by then, he would be 6 feet under in the airless black, clawing and screaming with no one to hear his suffocation.
Thanks.
And where are they at?
And this is why the heater guy looked so nervous in the beginning of the movie when they were burying Christoph, because he knew that it only had a shelf life of 12 hours.
So it was going to wear off. And it was close because he started crying. Christoph started crying when...
Right. No, they're at a party with the CSI guy and his wife.
And Alfred is there as well.
Alfred is there too?
Okay. Yeah. And the wife is very hot, probably hotter than he should actually have.
Well, if he's got money.
Yeah, that's true. And she reminds me of the woman in Major League at the dinner party where he crashes it.
Yes.
How good are you? I make the league minimum. Which, you know, $550,000, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. That's a lot of money.
But they are, Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Rumors are spreading about the new drug. Stocks are up. So once again, this has to have had been a period of time.
Sure. Yeah. We're glad you got out because now the country is in chaos. And the CSI guy goes, hey, we got a name for the product. Zombinol.
And somebody actually suggested Druggy McDrugface.
Sure. But Dennis excuses himself. Alfred follows him and he goes, something's wrong. I've been trying to call for 3 days, meaning Mariella. And he goes, I got to go back. And Alfred says, you opened the door to the mystical. You walked through it. You need to stay as far away from Haiti as possible.
Yeah. She said, you opened the door to Narnia and you're a grade school boy around a bunch of Nobel Prize winners. Stay as far away as you can.
Yeah. And then cut to some sort of voodoo ceremony with the heater guy. With DP.
Yeah, and he's getting a bowl from Not Wheezy. And then we go back to the dinner party, and the wife is complimenting Dennis, and she doesn't understand how Christoph survived. How is he able to speak? And then a business guy says somebody, the CSI guy says somebody dug him up so no brain damage occurred.
Yeah.
But what happens to Dennis here?
A hand comes out of the soup and touches him.
The dead puppet's hand.
Yeah.
And then it goes back into the soup. They ran that footage backwards.
Sure.
They had to have, because when the, otherwise there would have been soup on the hand, if that makes sense. But, and is there something wrong with your soup? I'm just not hungry. And the wife calls the help to remove the soup and bring out some aspic.
Yes. And she starts to toast and she starts stumbling with her words and chews on her glass. And leaps across the table. Was that with a butter knife or was that a steak knife?
I think it was a steak knife.
Okay. And she goes, you're going to die. And she cuts him and he leaves as she's having a seizure.
Yep. And he has a cut on his head, a pretty sizable cut on his head. And the CSI guy puts the wallet in the wife's mouth.
Uh-huh.
Like you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put something in the mouth when they're having a seizure. So that I think so they don't bite off their tongue.
Yes.
But the next day, Dennis lands in Haiti.
Yes. He's going to get to me wherever I am. I know that now. I've stolen his darkest and most powerful secret. I want to get even, and if he can't get me, he'll go for Mariel.
So he's walking down the jetway. As soon as he gets down onto the tarmac, he's grabbed by the secret police, and he is dragged over to a car. And the weird thing is you actually see other secret police that are, I don't know, up on a deck or something, or hidden behind some flags. And they're like, oh shit, what's going on? And it actually was not the secret police that were grabbing him. It was Lucien.
That's right.
Lucien's switch play snatched me from under the nose of the Tonton Macoute. Marielle was safe. She was guarded by his men at her clinic, he said. But for Mozart and me, it was a different matter.
That was amazing that actually worked out, because you actually said something in there. I have not talked for over a minute. That was pre-recorded me, because that was me between two clips.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I sent that to you in my notes.
Yeah, but I did not put that note in.
No, because why would you?
Right. I did not. Yeah.
But he said, I'm a U.S. citizen. And but now Dennis is lying on a table and Lucien is talking to him. And this whole scene cuts back and forth between Dennis and Lucien and Mozart and DP. But Lucien says something will give him a little protection, and Dennis says he hasn't felt protected by anything. And what does Lucien do to Dennis?
Does he like put some paint on him or something?
He puts, I think it's blood, like a cross on his forehead and on his chest.
Yeah.
And I think, and then he's, I'm not afraid. And you will be.
Yes. But then we cut to another ceremony with Mozart and the cop henchman with the diagonal sideburns has a machete. Cut back to Lucien. He says the battle will be fought in the mind. We see a guy
putting on a rubber glove.
Yes.
Got hard again. Yep.
Yes. Lucien says this must end. These people are mad dogs. Cut back to Mozart, and what happens to him?
Well, he's in dire straits right now.
Yeah.
He says, hey, I'm in tight with the president. And then Mozart loses his head.
Literally. Yes. And then the heater guy, DP, drinks his blood.
And Lucien gives a rosary to Dennis. And Dennis says, something is wrong, isn't it? And Lucien goes to leave and says, death is not the end. He starts to cough.
Uh-huh.
Then he starts spitting up blood and he just dies.
Yes. And a big scorpion crawls out of his mouth. Yes. And then a guy shows up and blows dust in Dennis's face.
Yeah. And Dennis says this.
You think you shut me up?
I didn't. Well, let me try again.
Babe said it was good for my complexion.
Success.
What's that from? Oh, that's...
Can't Find Me Love.
Damn it. This game has got to end eventually, right?
Eventually, yeah.
Yes.
But Dennis tries to wipe it off, but he's already starting to trip as he goes out into the street and he's asking for help.
Yeah. And then as he's expiring, he goes, don't let them bury me. I'm not dead.
Don't let them bury me. I'm not dead.
Very effective use of visuals, and then also with the sound, with the heartbeat slowing down and stopping.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm getting better.
Yes. At the hospital, there's a doctor there. He's got no pressure, no pulse. We lost him. Notify the embassy. And then the heater guy walks in. He goes, there will be no need for that, doctor. We've made all the arrangements.
And the doctor is kind of... whatever.
All right.
Someone on your end is going to take care of the paperwork, right? And then DP is talking to Dennis, and Dennis obviously can't talk back. He says, no rest. You'll see it all, the cold in the coffin. It will be worse, much, much worse. And then DP steals the rosary that Dennis got from Lucien.
Yeah.
And now where is Dennis?
He's in a grave, and it's kind of a POV. We see the heater guy up above. This is the same shot that we saw when he was having the dream about the boat on fire with the corpse bride.
Yes.
Yes. And the heater guy goes, Lucien can't help you now. And he shows him a jar and he says, he serves me now.
It's got the rosary around it. The jar has the rosary around it to show that it is Lucien.
Yes. And Marielle is there, and something L will turn your blood to worms.
Lucien will turn DP's blood to worms.
Oh, yes.
And will be hard to do dead, but I don't know exactly how voodoo works outside of the Brady Bunch, because that's where I learned all my voodoo knowledge.
Okay. With the totem?
Yes. Mr. Manoy?
Yes.
Manoy?
I'm not sure. But DP says her head will be taken as an offering tonight. And he puts a tarantula in the coffin and he says, to keep you company.
And I thought he was going to put a snake in at first.
Uh-huh.
No, it's a tarantula.
Yeah.
And they nail it shut, and it has a clear cross across the top. So
Dirt's going to fall in there, man.
Well, it's going to fall in there, but it's glass that's in there. It's not just open.
Is it glass?
Yeah, because he hits it and it breaks.
Ah.
But the secret police lower the coffin into the ground. They start piling dirt on top of it. And we see the cut from the business partner's wife is still fresh on his forehead as the tarantula is walking over his face and eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you wake up, scream all you want.
There's now no escape from the grave. And we get another shot of the moon. Cemetery is shown. Is there a difference between a cemetery and a graveyard?
No.
Okay. Like a gleek and a vipe?
No, I don't think so.
But the voodoo chalk thing, a skull and some candles are on top of Dennis's grave, as we hear your stereotypical night sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up and he is gasping in the darkness.
Yeah.
This was effective, I thought.
Yeah, it is. But we hear digging and he yells, in here. And it's Christoph. And Christoph gets him out.
Why wouldn't he have used a shovel?
Maybe he didn't have a shovel. And the grave was awfully
shallow,
right?
Yeah, but Dennis actually puts his hand through the glass cross on the top of the coffin. That's how you know that there's glass there, as he breaks out. Okay. You're alive. Thank you. And Dennis crawls out of the coffin. Christoph is helping him. And Christoph kind of tells him, hey, things are different now. You're going to see some things the living can't see. It's mm-hmm. the poison.
Yeah.
We go into town and DP is having a rave with all his red dress peeps.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to everybody, so everybody that is in DP's crew is in all red. And then the doc is there and she's in all white, except for yes. her hands are tied together with a red piece of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis is back in town and we hear another news report. And this one's kind of important, actually. The president of Haiti and his family are on the way to the airport. It's not scheduled. No one knows what this means, but they are fleeing. And Dennis is just kind of drunk stumbling through town.
Mm-hmm.
But all the townspeople are celebrating because baby Doc Duvalier has been ousted.
Yeah, so he was like the bad dictator or mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 7-Up guy returns and he puts his knee on the doc's back and people are tearing down Duvalier signs. And then DP gives the 7-Up guy the sign and he raises up his machete to decapitate the doc. And then he stops. Why does he stop?
Because there's a commotion outside and there's rioters and everyone leaves. I don't know why this would stop their ceremony.
Well, the citizens are going up to the secret police chanting Liberté, and the doc asks DP, where's your power now? People are having their vengeance, and he smacks the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are throwing rocks and plants at the police. They go into the building, and Dennis is there. He's still stumbling around. One guy is stealing a TV. And
okay,
there's an explosion, and Dennis is knocked down, and then DP is trying to remotely control Dennis and tells him to get up, which he does.
Yes, I control your thoughts now. And Dennis sees the scrotum chair move and it chases him.
Yeah. He's got bad memories of that chair.
Oh, what you think?
The only thing would be worse if it was a slatted chair.
Yes. Like in Casino Royale.
Yes.
Yeah, that would.
But DP is doing something to the doc. I guess he knocked her out when he smacked the shit out of her earlier. And Dennis hears the doc's voice, and then he sees some hands. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So there's like, you know, the cell doors with the little windows.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes. And the hands are coming out, and he opens the door, and it's Lucien.
Yeah, he starts yelling, and he rips his own head off and throws it at Dennis.
And, yeah. This movie just got all kinds of crazy right now.
And then Dennis is in the corridor in the Nut Hut. And
there's lots of long arms now coming out of those little windows trying to get him.
Someone throws their cum at him.
Yeah.
And then someone else says, sorry.
I can smell your cunt.
But
I knew that was coming. But yeah, he falls down some weird stairway.
So another MC Escher thing. Where up is down, and eventually he falls down the stairs into Jabba's chamber.
Yes, into the ceremony room. And DP is there. He leaps and attacks and puts his hand on his head and burns him. Marielle gets up, and she breaks Lucien's soul jar. And where is that? Mozart's jar.
The one with the watch is Mozart's.
Mozart, yeah. And those souls attack DP.
Dennis's
like spirit leopard comes out of him.
His Patronus. Yep.
Yes. And Dennis starts breaking all the other soul jars and they all attack.
And they're all like rainbows are coming out of them as they're breaking. And the doc just had this kind of holy shit look. And it couldn't have been Mozart's jar because now Dennis sees the Mozart's jar because it has the watch on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
he breaks that one and DP just bursts into flames.
Right. And he falls on a giant pile of skulls and disappears.
And how did Dennis all of a sudden become less concussed, if you will? He kind of got his wits about him awfully quick.
He sure did.
But Dennis and the doc are hugging each other as they look around and walk out of the room, and they go back into the torture room, and Dennis sees the scrotum chair again.
Yeah. He goes, I'm not going to leave that thing in one piece. And then the corpse bride is there and she points, and DP comes flying through the wall.
Yeah.
Like he is like the what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Like you could, like he's a ghost that can go through the wall.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. And he tackles him and DP goes, no rest for you. You're coming with me to hell.
Where did the doc go? Where did the doc go? Well, we'll find out in a minute, but.
Yeah. But Dennis kicks his ass and the chair welcomes him and the straps automatically go around DP.
And what do you want? I want to hear you scream. And then the nail is floating through the air.
Uh-huh.
And it just stops above DP's crotch.
Yeah.
And it goes straight down.
Right into his sack. And then the chair with DP in it sinks into the floor into hell.
And then all of a sudden the doc is there.
Yeah.
You okay? The nightmare is over. And we get a shot of the room below and all of the souls are leaving via rainbow. And out in the streets, it looks like Columbus after Ohio State beats Michigan.
Okay.
And,
big party.
Yeah. Cars being tossed over.
Yeah.
And Dennis and the doc are out on the street and we get a freeze frame. And then we actually get a closing card.
The zombie powder and its active ingredient, tetrodotoxin, is currently under intensive scientific study both in Europe and the United States. To this date, the process by which it works remains a mystery.
Okay, none of that's true.
No.
No. It's a known medicine, and yeah, it's not under investigation anymore or anything, but movie's over.
Uh-huh.
My movie, so I'll go first. It was all right. It wasn't terrible. It was not great. It does do some things that are very effective as far as it's got some jump scares that scare you. It has some moments that are meant to make you feel uncomfortable that make you feel uncomfortable. I think that it was okay. It is very much a product of its time. I think it's a movie that I think if they tried to remake it, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
But as far as would I recommend it to anybody? Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. All right. It was okay. I share your same sentiment about it. It was nothing great. I kind of have the same feeling about it when I originally saw it and it was, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Would I recommend it to anybody? Not my kid. I think he'd be bored to stars. Kind of like I was. Okay. Bored to stars. Is that a thing?
Bored to tears.
Bored to tears.
Talked about this previously.
Yes. So yeah, it was all right.
Did Jen watch this?
No.
And now it's time for Jen's 2 second movie review.
Didn't watch it.
That was Jen's 2 second movie review.
Jen!
I don't think we have to play out the string because already had it. So moving on.
Watch ya.
Oh, hold on a second. Oh, never mind. Never mind. Nope. You're right. We're in the right category.
Watch ya.
Okay. Have not had a chance to watch the newest Bad Batch episode because it doesn't come out till tomorrow.
I thought it came out today.
I thought it came out on Thursdays.
No, it came out on Wednesday.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have not watched it either.
Okay. Well, I haven't watched it, but Survivor started last Wednesday. So watched the first episode of Survivor. I watched a documentary called Turning Point, 9/11 in the War on Terror.
I think I've seen that. So is it a three-parter on
Netflix? Three or four.
Yeah, we watched that.
You know, it was a good documentary, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good because it didn't say this side is bad, this side is good. It from the U.S. perspective is what I mean. It didn't say, you know, all Republicans are bad, all Democrats are good, or vice versa. But the thing that it showed was how the government really took the opportunity that it had to way overstep what they should be able to do. And how lawyers even said, this is not fucking legal. And one guy was basically on his deathbed and they went for him to try to convince him to sign it. And he refused to. I think he was the attorney general. And then they did it anyway. And there's one thing that always struck me as something that was a little bit disappointing to me of people. And that was when Osama bin Laden was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all these news reports of people in front of the White House or people in Times Square, whatever. Just people cheering and people celebrating and da-da-da-da-da. And that really bothered me. I can understand you are glad that the guilty party has been caught, but just the absolute joy that was there, the bloodlust of it.
And most of those people that were celebrating, they don't even remember 9/11.
And, you know,
they were all young.
And there was a goal in mind with 9/11. 9/11 had a definite goal.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely parts of that goal were achieved, because you look at the way the U.S. is now compared to the way the U.S. was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And it radically shifted everything.
Sure. Yeah. Some of our freedom was robbed because of it.
Okay. So. I watched The Last American Virgin.
Again?
Yeah. And then I watched Lemon Popsicle.
That's the Israeli movie?
The original version that Last American Virgin was a remake of.
Mm-hmm.
They are very similar.
Okay.
And honestly, watching Lemon Popsicle, it makes some of the things about Last American Virgin that might have been somewhat questionable, it makes them make sense.
Okay.
Because there's a couple looks. It's almost a shot-for-shot remake. In some scenes, it actually is literally identical. You could put them side by side, and they are exactly the same.
Ah.
But some of the wording in Last American Virgin is weird. The dialogue seems off. And that's because it was translated from Hebrew.
Ah, okay.
And then I started watching Lemon Popsicle 2. There are 10 of them.
Jeez, really?
Yeah. And then I watched Drive Me Crazy. Have you ever seen that?
Who's in that?
Melissa Joan Hart and the guy from Entourage.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
It's a great film. It's
okay.
It's a great high school. It's the whole people pretending to be boyfriend and girlfriend to make other people jealous film. It's a very cliche heavy film.
All right.
But God, I love that film. Funny thing about that film though, is Melissa Joan Hart's character, her parents are split up in the film, but her parents are played by a man and a woman who were actually married in real life.
Okay.
And she divorced him, the real life couple, the mom, who's Faye Grant. You know who Faye Grant is?
Yes, I do.
V, from V.
Yeah.
She divorced her husband because he was a kid diddler.
Oh, wow.
He was the one from, oh God, Heaven Help Us or whatever, Seventh Heaven, from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He was also in... Tales of the Golden Monkey. That was a show that was on for one season that I loved that show. It was like a take on Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So I did not know that until I saw it, because I'm like, Faye Grant. Because Faye Grant was in another movie that I just watched. She was in the movie with the Gerbler that I just watched. I talked about it last week. Internal Affairs.
Ah, okay. She's in that?
Yes. It's the only movie she gets naked in.
She gets naked in that movie?
Yep.
Now I'm going to have to watch Internal Affairs.
When she's banging Richard Gere.
Oh.
All right.
And shoving a gerbil up his ass.
Hey, don't kink shame. Over to you.
When did we do the podcast last week? Was it Thursday or Friday?
I think it was Friday. It's Thursday.
Okay. So I'm all caught up on Masters of the Air. It's now devolved into Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan. It's been a long time since I did a Hogan thing.
Yeah, but they're in a POW camp. So, that's kind of where they're at now. I watched this documentary on Amazon Prime about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. It's really good, man. He is such a unique person and has such a unique story, unlike anybody else in the NBA. And he's ours. It's just kind of cool. I mean, he's got a really good story. I would highly recommend anybody to watch that.
Before you move on from him, I actually saw a thing on 60 Minutes about him a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fascinating because he didn't have a suit to wear to the draft and stuff. And
yeah,
it talked about his upbringing and stuff. It was fascinating.
And when they drafted him and he came to the United States, they did a physical on him and they're like, yeah, man, your growth plates are not fully formed yet. You're still growing. And he's put on like 50 pounds of muscle and just everything. Like he was going to go do his own laundry. And they're like, hey, we have a guy for that. You know, just wild stuff. Like, and there's several times where he's like, fuck it, man. I'm going to quit. I'm quitting because it was taking forever for his family to get brought over to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And Herb Cole had to call John Kerry and go, hey, man, you got to do me a solid here.
But you said that you watched that on Amazon.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot about my kids and how my kids, the way they communicate with me or what they communicate with me about is very, very different than what they communicate with their mother about.
Okay.
Got a text from the youngest one about a week ago. How come there are commercials on Amazon Prime now?
Because I'm not paying the extra $3 a month.
And I said, it's because we need new shoes.
That's awesome. I went and saw Dune 2 in the theater. Fucking fantastic.
That's why. I picked that sound of the week this week, by the way.
Okay, I kind of figured you did. There's a preview for a new Kevin Costner Western that's coming out. It's a two-parter. One first part's coming out in June, and then the second part is coming out in August. Dude, it gave me chills watching it. It looks so fucking good.
Yeah, well, that's what he walked away from Yellowstone for, basically.
This was like a passion project that he's wanted to do for years. Finished up the first season of Resident Alien, started the second season, and then continuing on watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and that would be it.
And I forgot, I'm almost done with the second season of Your Honor.
Ah.
So, but we'll be finished with that in the next day or two, so.
Okay.
But that is it for me. So, you have anything else?
No. Don't you have...
Yeah.
Howdy, partners. Now it's time for Listener Reaction Roundup. Yeehaw!
So, I got a message, which was actually a series of messages through text from Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the part where we talked about what we want for our kids and hugs that you can no longer have, it was good to hear that side of us.
Okay.
It gives us a human element.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Sandy.
And then she bitched about me having an Android phone because it fucks up her messages.
Uh-huh.
And she said, it's surprising for all the shady shit we used to do that a lot of folks that we know ended up in law.
Okay.
And when she sent that to me, it was when I was leaving work and I actually read it on my watch and I read it wrong. I thought she... And I don't know why I put this together this way, but I thought she said, it's weird that you are friends with guys who hooked up with the same people.
Oh, okay.
And I thought about it. And if you think about it, most everyone you are friends with hung out in the same group generally. And you have like a web of connections to probably just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a Kettle Moraine thing. That's just a regular thing.
Yeah, I think so.
But our number is 3, right? 3?
Our number is 3? What do you mean?
We have 3 things in common.
Oh, 3 women?
Yeah.
That we've fooled around with?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So ready for next week's movie?
I am.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. 3 degrees to next week's movie, and I think I like it.
If we didn't have a shitload of housekeeping, we would have been under 2 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. So I had sent you like a series of questions for next week's movie. And then I finished watching this movie and I was like, that was really dark. And the movie that you picked is very dark, I think. I haven't seen it, but just based on the name of it and the synopsis, it seems dark. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go lighthearted and I'm going to give you...
Wait, are you talking about my film after this one?
No, my film.
Okay. The way you said it, you made it sound like you got done watching this film and then you were looking at my next film.
No, I was looking at my next
film. Okay. Sorry.
And I decided I'm going to give you the TNA movie that you thought you were going to get with the Flamingo Kid.
So it's going to be about Blackjack?
Yes. Bill Pullman plays Dennis in this week's movie. He plays Bob Hinson in 1992's A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks plays Jimmy Dugan in that film. Hanks plays Alan Bauer in 1983's Splash. David Nell plays Claude in that movie. Nell plays Nelson in this 1983 TNA romp through Fort Lauderdale.
I know because I had to get it for you.
Right.
It's Spring Break, which I have seen.
So have I. Many, many moons ago.
I could not tell you anything about it.
The only thing that I remember is the two nerds have to share a room with these two studs. And the two studs bring chicks home and they start fucking. And the two nerds are like hiding behind the bed. And one of them goes, "Those are Playboy tits." That's all I remember.
Is there a big contest at the end of this one?
There's got to be a wet t-shirt contest in this movie.
No, but I mean, you know how there was in Caddyshack, there's the golf tournament in Better Off Dead. There is the ski chase in One Crazy Summer. There's the boat race. A lot of these films had the big contest at the end. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. And it is available for rent on Amazon.
Or YouTube.
Yes. Is it on YouTube?
It's for rent on YouTube.
Okay. Yes. It's not on YouTube.
For a while, it was available on Amazon, and I was going to do it, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't there anymore. So.
Oh, anyway. And did you bring the dice? Then we can wrap it up.
Fuck. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Do, do, do. Okay. The reason that you need dice is I am through my series of films as far as categories. There were 12 remaining films that did not get picked in the first go through. So I needed a way to pick from those 12. I eliminated one. So there's only 11. So that works because you can't get one with two dice. And there is downstream implications to this because you'll do it for this one. And then you'll also do it for the one after that.
Okay.
If one of two movies don't get picked, the remaining movies are going to get rolled over into next season, and that will be next season's movies.
All right.
So go ahead and roll.
Okay.
You got to tell me the number.
Well, I didn't know if you would need me to say a 6 and a 2.
No, just the total.
8.
8. Okay, great. So that'll tell me what the next movie will be. So go ahead and bring us on home.
All right. Hey, thanks everybody for this shorter than usual podcast. I was kind of expecting it a little bit longer, but I guess you just kind of breeze through the movie with this one. I have a stinking suspicion Spring Break is going to do the same, but reach out to the show, betamaxrewind@yahoo.com. Rate, review, where you get your podcasts. Helps with the algorithm, helps find people like yourselves, find us. We are on, where did I find us? Audible.
Yeah.
We're on Audible.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Audible owns Anchor, which is what our podcast host is. So,
okay. Like us on Facebook and join us next week for boobs, lots of boobs in Spring Break.
Sounds good. We'll see you then. All right. Do you have a day in mind?
No.
No. All right. So sometime next week.
Yes.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hold
that one in.
Nom, 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 nom.
Oh.